How's everyone this morning? Okay, good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 10, if you will, please. Mark 10, verses 17 to 22 will be our text this morning. We'll be reading that in just a few moments here. We are continuing our series of lessons on the Gospel of Mark, God's Servant in Action. And today we're going to be taking a look at the question, fan or follower, okay? Fan or follower. And I know that is reminiscent of the study that we did, several years ago with Kyle Eidelman. I got a call this morning during the Sunday school hour from Trina Pickerell. And she is wanting us to put her daughter Ashley on our prayer list. Ashley is at St. Francis Hospital with pneumonia and is on 100% life support at this time. For those of you who know Ashley, as you know, she sits here in the front when they're here. She has Down syndrome. I mean, the sweetest girl you'd ever want to meet, sweetest young lady who loves to worship God. If you ever just watch her, she loves to worship God. And she is in a very serious situation this morning. And so if you will, please just bow with me as we lift her up in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so deeply grateful for your love, for your blessings you give us in Christ. Father, we know you love us. We do. Even during times like this, dear Father, when Jackie gets a call or when we get a call about to Ashley, dear Father, or whatever the situation might be, dear God, that breaks our heart. We know your love for us never wanes. You love us deeply through it all, dear Father. In fact, you are there giving us the strength, the comfort to carry on, dear Father, during life's difficulties. But Father, we want to lift up to you right now, dear Father, Ashley. Dear God, we love this little girl. We love her. We pray, dear Father, you bless her. We pray, dear God, that you please give her strength. We pray, dear Father, that you will clear the infection in her lungs, dear Father, that she'll be able to start breathing again on her own, dear God. We pray, dear Father, that you just completely heal her, that she can return home to be with her family again very soon. We lift up Trina. We lift up the family to you, dear Father. We know that that this is a difficult time for them, dear Father, and they're waiting for their daughter to get better, and we pray for that, dear Father, please. Just surround this family with your angels, dear Father, as they minister to them, dear God, please. This is our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Do you remember when you became a Christian? You remember that? When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was baptized just 2 weeks before my 10th birthday. And my mom had been, you know, talking to me about being baptized ever since a couple of friends of mine were baptized just a few weeks before. And I saw that they were now taking a communion, and I thought that was cool. So the next Sunday, you know, I went forward and was baptized. In fact, for a decade and a half after I went, I went about calling myself a Christian, you know, teaching Bible classes, serving as a deacon, being involved in other ministries of the church. But then I heard a sermon at a church conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma on discipleship. You know, being a true follower of Jesus Christ. And I realized that I did not even understand what that commitment to Christ meant when I accepted him and was baptized when I was only 10 years old. I mean, I really did it for the wrong reason. I did it because my friends did. I did it because I can take the communion, and I did it because my mama wanted me to. But as soon as I got back from Tulsa, I had our preacher, Bob Pratt, to baptize me again at the age of 25. And this time, however, as a true follower of Jesus Christ. So following that example in Acts 19, where the disciples were baptized, this time for the right reason. They were baptized again. Our lesson today is about a young man who, when it came to doing the right things, I mean, really did a good job. When it came to his commitment to Christ and a relationship with him, he fell short. He was a wealthy man, a young man. His eyes were set on religious matters, you know, on teachers, eternal life, good deeds. He had the look of a seeker. You know what I'm talking about? Had the look of a seeker who, you know, seemed to be willing to, was willing to listen and eager to learn. He seemed a follower in the making, but we soon learned that he wasn't a follower at all, but merely an admirer. And as Kyle Idleman puts it, he was a fan. One who follows Jesus as long as it doesn't get too demanding or too uncomfortable. So I want us to read about his story today. I want you to follow with me. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 13. Verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, Mark tells us that Jesus is, at this time, is saying goodbye to the people as he leaves the city. Remember, he's on his way with his disciples, on his way to Jerusalem. And he's been teaching and preaching, making friends, changing lives. And this rich young man must have just kind of stood at the edge of the crowd for days, listening to Jesus teach and preach. Maybe he, you know, had a struggle going on within him. You know, I really should go up and talk to Jesus. I mean, he seems different from the Pharisees and the other rabbis. He speaks with authority, so maybe he's got the answer to what I really want to know. And on this day, he realizes that Jesus is leaving town. So this is his last chance to get a chance to talk to Jesus. And so he goes to Jesus with this burning question on his mind. He runs up to him, falls before him, and asks, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, what's the quickest way to heaven? And this is where it gets interesting. Because Jesus asked, "Have you kept the commandments?" And then he starts listing the Ten Commandments. And the young man answers, you know, proudly, "Every single one of them since I was a boy." Now, if Jesus was looking for a poster boy to be part of his new movement, this was the guy. He was the guy. Young, rich, and obedient. I mean, this is one righteous dude. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, he is a righteous fellow. And I'm sure the disciples are thinking, "Sign this guy up." I mean, he would be a great follower. Just sign him up. But then Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. "Hey, one thing you lack," Jesus said. "Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and come follow me." And at this moment, the young man's, you know, had a choice to either be a fan of Jesus or to be a follower. Mark 10, verse 22 says, at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He chose his wealth over a relationship with Jesus. So let's begin to take a look at this text here. Let's get more deeper. From the aspect of being a fan or a follower. First of all, a fan wants religion, but a follower wants a relationship. Say this with me. A fan wants religion, but a follower wants a relationship. Now, here was a young man that when it came to keeping the rules, I mean, he was highly dedicated. In fact, since he was a boy, he had been doing exactly what Jesus said he should be doing, keeping the commandments. Now, I as a minister, I am concerned that when preachers and teachers say that we cannot be good enough or do enough to go to heaven, you know, to earn our way to heaven, to earn our salvation. We sometimes, I'm concerned about this, that we sometimes leave the impression that God is not concerned about obedience. When we say, you can't be good enough, you can't do enough, you know, that we leave the impression that God's really not concerned about obedience. And yet nothing can be further from the truth. In fact, we cannot be a follower of Christ, nor even have love for Christ, without being obedient. Amen? We can't. In fact, Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, 31 and 32, he says, if you hold to my teaching, the word hold there means to keep and continually keep my teachings, then you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Again, Jesus said in John 14, verse 15 to his disciples, shortly before he goes to the cross, he says, if you love me, as you guys say you do, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And then again, John 15, verse 10, he says this. He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. How do we remain in this love? If we do what? Obey his commands. Did you get that one? If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Friends, God wants obedient followers. He wants obedient followers. You cannot be a faithful follower of Christ without obeying the commandments of God. Do we get that? We have to be obedient. Say that. We have to be obedient. Now, on the other hand, you can be obedient to the commandments of God without having a relationship with Jesus at all. Did you realize that? You can be obedient without having a relationship. And this is the problem with this young man. I mean, he's extremely religious. He's obedient to God's commandments. Undoubtedly, he is a good person. But Jesus wants more than mere commandment keeping. He wants more than mere religion. He wants us. He wants us. And this is the problem that was happening here. Jesus wanted this young man. He didn't want his wealth. He didn't want his good reputation. I mean, all you have to do is look at all the misfits and outcasts who were following Jesus to know that. I mean, he just wanted him. He wanted his love. He wanted his devotion. You see, when we have a loving relationship with God, that's when our obedience and service follows. When we have that loving relationship with God. Let me ask you, why do you come worship God on Sunday mornings instead of sleeping in like so many other Christians do? Why do you do that? Why did many of you show up early on a Saturday morning last December, putting together food baskets and then deliver them to families that you don't even know, just so they can have a nice Christmas dinner? Why did you show up early that morning? I think it was like 8 o'clock that morning. Why did you show up early and there were like 25 people here to do that last December? Why did many of you spend hours cleaning and painting Lori's classroom and the nursery, getting it organized and up to date? Why would you do that? Why do you choose to treat people well? Why do you refuse to take something that doesn't belong to you? Why are you careful to use words that build up instead of destroy? I mean, do you do these things just because you have to? Is that the reason? No. Absolutely right, Evelyn, no. I mean, or do you live this way because you have a loving, devoted relationship with God? God has been so good to you. Amen? God has been so good to us, so we don't want to let him down. We don't want to dishonor him in any way. We are obedient to what he says because we love him so much. Because we love him so much. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Say that with me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I mean, that's the way that it is. But you see, religion, with all of its rules, is something that we have to do. It's something that we have to do to attempt to appease God so that we can go to heaven. Relationship is something that we want to do because of our love for God. We want a relationship with Him. And even though this young man is asking what can he do to inherit the kingdom of heaven, inherit eternal life, Jesus wants him to understand that he cannot earn his way to heaven merely by his commandment keeping, nor can he buy his way to heaven with his great wealth. Being religious might get you to come to church, but it will not get you into heaven. It is our relationship with Christ that will secure us a home in heaven and nothing more. Amen? It's our relationship with Him. But then secondly, a fan is convinced, but a follower is committed. Say this with me. A fan is convinced, but a follower is committed. Again, anytime Jesus extends the invitation to follow Him, there is always a choice to be made. Whether it's verbalized or not, and that choice is we either serve Jesus or we serve the world. Those are our two choices. We serve Jesus or we serve the world. And this was the same choice that this young man received. Now, I don't know for sure what this young man's motive is in coming to Jesus. I mean, there was something that he saw and heard from Jesus that convinced him that this good teacher had the answer, you know, to receiving eternal life. That part we do know. And this is certainly a worthy inquiry to make. In fact, it's the most important question that we can ever ask. What can I do to go to heaven? What can I do to be saved? That's the question he's asking. But was he sincere? Was he just making small talk? Was he wanting Jesus to merely confirm that he was on the right track to eternal life with all of the commandment keeping? I mean, maybe he viewed heaven as merely a consolation prize for all the good deeds that he has done. Maybe that's what it's about. But whether his motive, whatever it is, he did not expect the answer that Jesus gave him. Because Jesus, in verse 21, Jesus makes it very clear. I want you to sell everything. You go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. That's what Jesus says. And notice that Mark points out that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He doesn't just say, hey, go sell everything you have, you know, because... No. He loved him. He loves this young man. Jesus' heart goes out to this young man. He wants him to have and enjoy eternal life in heaven. And he knows that the only thing keeping him from receiving it is his love for his possessions. He loved his possessions more than he loves Christ. Do you wonder even if he even considered selling everything to come follow Jesus? But what do you think is going through this young man's mind right now? I mean, here he is on his knees before Jesus. Hopeful, looking for a quick and easy way to heaven. But when he heard Jesus answer, his face falls, the scripture says. His face falls, and now he's staring at the ground. He may be asking himself, what would it be like to follow Jesus? I'd be free from all this guilt that I feel, the doubts, be free from all the doubts, all the fears. I would possess this incredible something that I see in Jesus and his followers. But on the other hand, let me put my imagination to work. On the other hand, there was the banquet being thrown for him that night. There was the new expensive wardrobe that he just ordered, that he just purchased. There was the beautiful young lady his family had picked out for him to marry. There was the new chariot that he was having, you know, custom made. So what is he going to do? I mean, he stands up and he sadly walks away. Why? Because he loved his wealth more than he loved Jesus. I mean, he was convinced. He was convinced that Jesus had the answers, but yet he wasn't committed to following Christ. But as we read on in this text here, we find out that there is a contrast in this story. Let's read on here, beginning with verse 23. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." In fact, he says, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." I mean, think about that for a moment. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Then Jesus, who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Say that with me. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them will also come persecutions. And in the age to come, he will receive eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Jesus, here is when Jesus tells the disciples, and he pointed out how difficult it would be for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, Peter reminds Jesus of what they've given up. That he and the other disciples, "We have left everything to follow you." Verse 28. We've left everything. And Peter wanted Jesus to know that they weren't merely convinced. They're not just convinced that he was the Christ. They were committed to following him, even if it meant giving up everything. And then Jesus in turn said that they would be greatly rewarded with eternal life for their decision to choose him over the world in verses 29 through 30. Friends, who or what we follow all boils down to who or what is our master. It all boils down to who or what is our master. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. I mean, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money," Jesus said. Now, some of you may be thinking, "Well, you don't have to worry about that because I don't have any money to serve." Okay, you know, I mean, we're there. But the reason that Jesus told this young man to sell his possessions was because it was his wealth that was keeping him out of heaven. Jesus doesn't say that to everybody. In fact, in Luke chapter 10, 25 and following, when the law expert, when the teacher of the law came to Jesus and asked what he can do to inherit eternal life, Jesus didn't tell him, "Go sell everything you have and come follow me." He didn't say that at all. What he said was, "You are to love your neighbor as yourself." Because it was his prejudice. It was his bigotry, especially against the Samaritan people, that was keeping him out of heaven. That was the thing that kept him from really serving and following God. And, you know, we got to understand that money may not be our master, but something else may. That's when Jesus would say, "You can't serve God and sex. You can't serve God and pornography. You can't serve God and drugs. You can't serve God and alcohol. You can't serve God and food. You can't serve God and success. You can't serve God and Facebook. You can't serve God and self." Just fill in the blank. Fill in the blank of what it is that means more to you than God. You see, the young man could have kept his wealth if it wasn't his master. He could have kept his wealth. I mean, whatever it is that has become our master, that keeps us from truly following Jesus, we have to give it up. We have to give it up. We have to put Jesus before everything. That's what he is saying. I come before everything. Everything else has a number, not me. I am to be your life. How many times we say we are to put Jesus Christ as number one in our life? Jesus is our life. Everything else takes a number after him. He is our life. Friends, Jesus is seeking followers, not fans. He wants people to be committed, not convinced. You know, it's much easier to be an admirer of Jesus than it is to be a follower. Because we can be an admirer at a distance and relatively be unaffected. But followers have their lives turned upside down. They aren't the same. And what Jesus was asking this young man was the normal price of being a disciple. Jesus was not calling people to poverty. He doesn't call us to poverty, but he calls us to complete faith and trust in him, to completely surrender our lives to him. That's really what he wants. There's a passage of scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. And the passage says this. Jesus in a parable says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he finds one of great value, he went away, sold everything that he had, and bought it. Charles Swindoll, his book, Improving Your Serve, presents a conversation between a man who represents you and me and God, based on this parable. And the pearl represents kingdom living. The pearl represents our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the question is, what is your relationship with Christ worth to you? So I'm going to read this conversation. How much is the pearl? Does it cost me anything? Well, the Lord said, it's very expensive. But how much, we ask? Well, a large amount. Do you think I could obtain it? Oh, of course, everyone can obtain it. But didn't you say it was very expensive? Yes. Well, how much is it? Everything you have, says the Lord. We make up our minds. All right, I'll take it, we say. Well, what do you have? He wants to know. He's like, let's just write this down. Let's see. Well, I have around $10,000 in the bank. Good. $10,000. What else? Well, that's all. I mean, that's all I have. Nothing more? Well, I've got a few dollars in my pocket. How much? We start digging. Well, let's see. $28.32. That's fine. What else do you have? Nothing. I mean, that's everything. Where do you live? He's still probing. In my house. Oh, yes, I own a house. The house, too. He writes that down. You mean I have to live in my camper? Oh, you have a camper? That, too. What else? I have to sleep in my car? You have a car? Two of them. Well, both become mine. What else do you have? Well, you already have my money, my house, my camper, my cars. I mean, what else do you want? Are you alone in this world? No. I have my wife and my two children. Yes, yes. Your wife and children become mine too. What else? That's it. That's it. I have nothing left. I am left alone now. Suddenly, the Lord exclaims, oh, I almost forgot. You yourself too. Everything becomes mine. Wife, children, house, money, cars, camper, and you too. And then he goes on, now listen, I will allow you to use all these things for the time being. They are yours to enjoy, but don't forget that they belong to me just as you do. You're just borrowing them. And whenever I need any of them, you must be willing to give them up, because everything that you have is mine. So here's the question. Let's bring up the slide. The question is that each of us need to be asking, am I a fan or am I a follower? You know, I believe that there are a lot of fans in the world. A lot of people who will get on Facebook and you can see all their posts and their scriptures and all these things and, you know, about Jesus, but yet, are they truly followers or are they just fans? Because a follower doesn't post, you know, doesn't just post on Facebook, you know, look at me. A follower is one who truly gives his all to Christ, who lives like Jesus wants them to live. A follower is one who will follow Christ through thick or thin, regardless of what he faces in life. Even when you get a phone call, like Jackie did, saying that her son was in a coma-induced coma, that her daughter-in-law was killed in a car wreck. Do you think that at that time when Jackie got that phone call, that Jackie said, I've had it with you, God. I'm done with you. I don't want to follow you anymore. I don't want to serve you anymore. Look what you've done. Do you think that that thought even came into her mind? Not whatsoever. Because she knew she is a follower. And regardless of what she faced, she is a follower. In the back, very sitting in the very back there is Corey. Tell me your last name again, brother.
Carlton.
Yes. It slipped my mind. Corey Carlton. Corey is the son of Doug Carlton. Do you remember Doug Carlton? Corey hasn't been here for quite some time. He's told me I haven't been here for a while. We used to come here, my dad used to come here. And so I asked him, I said, Corey, how's your dad? I hadn't seen him in a while. And he told me that his dad passed away last November with a heart murmur. But Corey, sometimes when we face things like that, instead of hardening our hearts, what it begins to do is to soften our hearts and realize there's more to life than this. There really is a heaven. There really is God. There really is Jesus Christ. And Corey tells me, and I hope and pray so, Corey, he says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Let's praise God for that, okay? I'm coming back. Because I want him to be back. I want him to know that it's God who truly loves him. We're deeply sorry for the loss of your dad, but God is your heavenly Father, and he loves you deeply. Am I a fan or am I a follower? Well, God sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth to give his life for us. Can you imagine what that conversation must have been like? Because here it is the day that Jesus knows he is going to be born to Mary. And before that takes place, before the Holy Spirit, impregnates Mary, that conversation with God and Jesus, where he says, son, it's time. You know what's going to happen when you're there. This world is going to turn against you. This world is going to persecute you, and they're finally going to kill you, hang you on a cross. But son, it's because of my love for the world that I'm sending you to this earth to go through all of that. And it's because of Christ's love for us that he gladly hung upon that cross so that we can have eternal life. I think that we need to be his follower, don't you? If you're here today, if you're not a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity to talk to us about what it means to be a Christian. We're going to have one of our elders to be up front here. If one of our ladies want to be up front as well, we appreciate one of our ladies to be up front. And we're here to receive you today. We want to pray with you. If there's any concern that you might have, anything that's on your heart that you want us to pray about, we want to pray about it. If you want to ask us, okay, what is it? I want to know what that young man wanted to know. I want to know what I can do to have eternal life. What can I do to be saved? We'd like to share that information with you this morning. If we can help you in any way, we ask you to come as together we stand and we sing.
The atmosphere is changing now.